Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
Procedures.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
This is Space Talk, a weekly program that highlights America's space program and what's new in space flight from around the globe. And now, with the past, present, and future of space exploration, here is Jim Behnke.
Good afternoon from Florida Space Coast, home of the most skilled aerospace workforce in America. I'm Jim Behnke, and this is the December 11th, 2010 edition of Space Talk, brought to you by Space Florida, committed to expanding Florida's aerospace enterprise. Well, we finally made it back on the air after giving up the past 2 weeks to coverage of the UCF Knights football games. And certainly congratulations to them for winning the conference championship game last week. They are off now to the Liberty Bowl on New Year's Eve for one more game, which you will be able to listen to, of course, here on WMMB. And we wish them all well. Proud father of the youngest son attending UCF. He's just about hoarse these days. Has nothing to do with finals either. Well, look, if there were a series of bowl games played each year that was related to the space program, then there is no doubt this week that the folks from SpaceX would be playing in the space equivalent of the Rose Bowl, because there's no question in my mind as to who has the best record in space this year. I hope you all know by now that on Wednesday this past week, the company's Falcon 9 rocket lifted off from Complex 40 at Cape Canaveral Air Force Station and flew what appears to have been a flawless mission, carrying into Earth orbit the first of the company's Dragon capsules. If you didn't know, the Dragon spacecraft is the vehicle that SpaceX intends to use to deliver cargo to the International Space Station. And the main purpose of this flight was to begin to demonstrate to NASA that SpaceX has a working rocket and spaceship that is up to doing the job. Wednesday's flight certainly did nothing to give NASA any pause as to the Dragon's capability. And after a perfect launch, Dragon reached orbit, was put through its paces, circled the Earth twice, and then fired its retro rockets to re-enter the atmosphere and splash down in the Pacific Ocean, where a small ship was standing by to recover the spacecraft. Now, you know, I know there have been some folks out there saying, so what? This is just Project Mercury and Gemini all over again. And in fact, Dragon didn't even carry any humans on board. Just an expensive wheel of cheese and maybe a few other souvenirs. If that's what you think, or if you find some other fault with what SpaceX has done, then I sure would love to hear from you and talk about it. I shouldn't do it, but I do it all the time. It's self-punishment or something, but I do read the comments section online that follows so many stories. I think I read them to punish myself, especially the ones on FloridaToday.com. Sometimes I can't believe what I'm reading, written by people who apparently are my neighbors, maybe my friends, I don't know, but the way it's anonymous. The cheap shots, personal name calling, the uninformed accusations, of course, not to mention the sheer stupidity demonstrated by some of these commenters. I don't know what they're saying or what they're thinking, but look, here's the phone number. Listen to this right here. You know the number well, 768-1240. The area code is 321 if you need it. Local AT&T wireless customers, you can dial *1240 for a free call, or, of course, you can send an email anonymously if you have to spacetalking@AOL.com. And, of course, everyone's welcome to use those numbers and email address to talk to us about anything and ask us anything at any time. But, of course, in this case, I want to hear from somebody who doesn't think the SpaceX story was a big deal. In fact, I dare you to tell me what's negative about this story. In fact, I will risk a breach of etiquette during this Christmas season and go right to saying I triple dog dare you to call in and share your thoughts about SpaceX if you find fault in what they are doing and what they have accomplished this week. In my opinion, this past Wednesday, we saw a glimpse at the bright future that our space program will become. When visionaries like Elon Musk assembles a team of experienced, steely-eyed missile men and women who are not afraid to think outside the box, those that are not constrained from demonstrating true innovation by what I think a lot of people think are the smothering effects of burdensome government oversight, when all that happens and comes together, this is the result, and this is pretty cool. I mean, look at how they solved the problem this week with a crack in the second stage nozzle extension. Basically, they were coming up on launch, doing their final checks and x-rays and looking at all the images and stuff, and they found a couple of small cracks in a piece of metal, basically. It's a part of the second stage nozzle to the rocket engine that extends. It's not the main nozzle. It's a piece that extends out and helps direct the flow of the hot gases in space. And they looked at it and did their analysis and know their equipment, and they decided that the best solution here was simply to trim away that part of the nozzle and take the problem of the crack, you know, out of the scenario by cutting it away. No rollback was required. They didn't have to disassemble the rocket for tests and analysis at laboratories far flung across the United States. There were no committee meetings that had to be convened and bring people from around the country to a single room. There were no big program reviews to look at it over. No big tiger teams that I can determine. It was just smart people who knew their rocket, know their rocket. And not only do they know the rocket, but they're given the authority to solve the problems right there on the spot. And that's the kind of can-do way of doing space that I think we're missing in our program today. There's certainly room for government oversight, but not burdensome oversight, not too much. We want to be safe, and these guys are not going to launch until it's safe, and that's going to always be the way it is. But I think there is a better way to do business, and I think SpaceX showed that. I think, again, it was a great day for America. I offer my congratulations to Elon Musk, the entire SpaceX team, certainly to Brian Mosdell, our good friend, and the Florida-based team that he leads, who are our friends and neighbors here. And it was a spectacular shot, made some history, and now it's time to go and do it again. By the way, if you thought the idea of flying a wheel of cheese inside the Dragon capsule and making the Monty Python link was just great, you know, if you don't happen to be a Monty Python fan, I'm not sure I can really explain the humor to you or what the joke was all about. But I did read a comment somewhere online that I thought that even if the folks at SpaceX hadn't thought of this, I think it's a brilliant observation, and that's this. What if the wheel of cheese was a reference to that management book, Who Moved My Cheese? Which was all about change and dealing with change. And we thought, well, maybe this was SpaceX's way of poking a little fun at maybe NASA in particular, but certainly the entire aerospace industry for their way about dealing with change. And so maybe the Falcon 9 was all about moving my cheese. And I thought either way you want to look at it, it was just brilliant. It was just brilliant, and I applaud them for doing that and hope they do some more of that kind of stuff. At the very least, this company's got a great sense of humor, and that's an important part of the whole thing. Well, look, we got coming up here on a break in just in a minute or two. I wanted to just bring up a couple other quick things that came up this week before we take the break. I want to acknowledge the fact that even though there was success, there's sometimes this failure out there we got to deal with. The Japanese probe Akatsuki. Did I say that right? Akatsuki? Akatsuki. Or Akatsuki. Failed to break into orbit in Venus this past week. They got 6 years for it to happen again. There was probably a pressurization problem in the main propulsion system. So it's still tough to do things out in the planets, and we just want to mention that. Transformers 3 trailer is out. I'm going to talk more about it next week, but it's partially filmed here at KSC. It's got some great Apollo 11 stuff. You want to take a look at it for sure. So that's it. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about the potential for a new industry right here on Florida Space Coast involving space technology and new cars. Well, we'll be back right more with that in a moment. This is Space Talk, brought to you by Space Florida. I'm Jim Banky, and you're listening to WMMB.
Call Jim now, 768-1240, or star 1240 for AT&T wireless customers.
That'll calm me down. Just want to say, like, welcome back to Space Talk. Just be very mellow. Holiday mood brought to you by Space Florida. Well, again, you're welcome to join in our conversation today with your questions or comments at any time during the program, of course. Give us a call, 321-7. You can't say that loud while you're talking with that kind of music in the background, can you? Calling us at 321-768-1240, star 1240 if you're a local AT&T wireless customer. And, of course, send us an email if you prefer to spacetalking@AOL.com, the show being brought to you live streaming on WMMBAM.com, and you can tune in there as well. Well, let's get into this interesting topic of space technology and cars, hybrid cars, and even our local economy. And I want to bring it up by doing it this way. If you can believe it or not, for about 12 years, and I always thought this was fascinating, from about 1978 to the year 2000, the NASA Act of 1958, which established NASA and started the whole thing, had in it provisions, had this wording in. Let me just read you the wording. The Congress declares that the general welfare of the United States requires that the unique competence in scientific and engineering systems of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration also be directed toward the development of advanced automobile propulsion systems. Now, I don't know, and I can't recall if there were any programs actually started funded by NASA. There was a whole separate automobile propulsion department or whatever set up in another part of the government agency or the government bureaucracy. And I don't know whatever became of that or not. I know that the Congress deleted those words again from the NASA Act in the year 2000. But in any case, the idea that that we could combine what we've been learning from working and living in space to solving some of our problems with keeping our car happy culture on the move certainly has not gone away in the intervening years. And my two guests today represent a local effort, perhaps, to bring together both the automotive and space technology together and do it in a way that benefits our state economy. And so when we talk about economic development and space and the state of Florida, we're talking, of course, to friends and folks at Space Florida, sponsor of Space Talk. First, our guest today, we welcome back my dear friend for his record-breaking fifth appearance on Space Talk, the director of spaceport operations for Space Florida, Patrick McCarthy. Welcome back, Pat.
Thanks, Jim. Glad to be here.
Okay, we're going to talk to you in just a moment. But all spotlights and stars and eyes are on our next guest here. Joining us is the CEO of Avera Motors, a Rockledge, Florida-based company that is working hard to do what I was just talking about in terms of bringing space technology and automobile technology together and doing it in a way that I hope and he hopes can make a profit. RJ Scringe is with us today. Welcome to Space Talk, RJ.
Thanks, Jim. Glad to be here.
Good. Let's begin with you, and we'll just have you talk a little bit closer to the microphone. Tell us a little bit about yourself personally and how your life has wound up to the point where you're here doing this.
Sure. Well, I'm a Rockledge resident, born and raised, a true Floridian, not a transplant like many of us down here.
Sorry.
But
said the Minnesota native.
Yep, there you go. But born and raised in Rockledge, went to school in New York, a school called Rensselaer Polytechnic.
Okay.
While I was there, I studied mechanical engineering, really enjoyed it quite a bit. And at that point, really started to study automotive manufacturing and automotive engineering. Yeah, I've been a lifelong car fan.
Okay.
Huge Porsche fan specifically. Been working on it my whole life. I've had several. I'd like to have more. but after I finished up my undergraduate degree, I went back to school. And I did my master's and my PhD at a school called MIT.
Okay, a little-known school.
Yeah, a little-known school. And at that point, I was studying automotive engineering. I was in a lab that specifically was set up to study high-efficiency vehicles. And it opened a lot of doors for me. It was really just an incredible opportunity. I was able to travel around the country, travel around the world, really, to look at other manufacturing facilities, other manufacturing approaches, look at how other companies engineered their vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during that time that I really started to put together the business model and the business strategy to launch a different kind of car company. And by different kind of car company, I mean a company that can produce cars in smaller volumes, produce cars that target smaller markets, but still do it in a profitable manner. And to do that, we literally had to rethink how the vehicle's built. And since founding the company, I've pulled together some of the best talent in the industry. I've brought a bunch of people out of Detroit down to sunny Florida.
Okay.
And what's interesting, when you start to look at very high-efficiency vehicles, a lot of the things or technologies that are used in aerospace, particularly lightweight, high-strength structures, are very applicable in a high-efficiency vehicle.
Now, talk about that. Define that a little bit better about what a high-efficiency car is. Is that, I mean, right away, and even in my studying for this, you know, I want to right away focus on hybrid and electric versus gas and all that. But it sounds like you're talking about more than just the power plant. You're talking about the whole car design and every nook and cranny that you can find to make it go farther with less fuel.
Yep. No, you're exactly right, Jim. It's you look at a car, a lot of times people like to focus on the powertrain. And actually, that's been a lot of my my research focus in graduate school was actually on the powertrain. But it's actually much broader than that. You've got to look at the car as an entire system.
Mm-hmm.
It's weight, it's aerodynamics, and then it's also how you push all that weight and push that object through the air, and that's your powertrain. And what we've done is we've taken more of a holistic approach and said, let's make the vehicle itself extremely efficient so that we don't need a very costly, very expensive powertrain to push it around to get these high efficiency numbers.
So that's the flow of air, that's laminar flow, that's composite material, lightweight, strong materials, more efficient self-diagnostic systems, even self-repair systems.
Well, not necessarily self-repair. That would be nice.
Not quite there yet?
Not quite there yet.
Okay.
But when you look at a vehicle, most of the vehicles out on the road today are, you know, weigh between 3,000 and 5,000 pounds. And what we're developing is a vehicle architecture that allows the vehicle to weigh significantly less but still be extremely safe.
Okay.
And by weighing a lot less, we're able to get much higher efficiency out of the overall vehicle. And we're able to do it without using a tremendous amount of batteries in the drivetrain.
Now, as you're talking about this, and I do a lot of work with NASA Aeronautics, I could swear you're talking about designing the next airliner. And in fact, you're talking about a car. But let's get to the crux of it. Now, here we are on a show called Space Talk talking about cars, which is certainly interesting. What in the heck does this have to do with space?
That's a great question. Well, when I was setting up the company, I had a choice where to set it up. You know, you could go to a place like Kentucky where the incentives are extremely strong. You can go to a place like Alabama, same sort of thing. But when you start to look at the idea of creating a new kind of car company that's focused very heavily on designing a very lightweight, highly safe platform, the Space Coast looks very good for a number of reasons. We've got a workforce, a technical workforce, that can do the manufacturing. We have a technical engineering workforce that has expert skills in lightweight structures, energy absorption, key things for developing lightweight vehicles. And what we've done is we've found that this is also a great place to recruit to. So we've pulled some of the best talent out of the Detroit area in terms of lightweight automotive structures. And we've linked up with Space Florida, and we're utilizing a lot of the resources at NASA to do some of the testing on the vehicle. And we're just now kicking some of those programs off, and I'm very excited about the potential to leverage the huge expertise that we have in this area to test this vehicle and to really push the limit as far as possible.
Well, and with about a minute or so left here, RJ, let's talk about kind of the first car itself. I guess you can't talk about the specifics of it, but can you give us a general sense of when it might be something that we can all take a look at and maybe even drive?
Sure. Well, the vehicle will be commercially available in late 2012, full-scale production starting in 2013. We're going to be releasing images of the vehicle in the early part of this coming year. So in the next couple of months, we'll start to release and show people what it looks like. If you've gone to our website, you've probably seen we have a cloaked image of the vehicle. It's covered with a sheet, and I think a lot of people would like to see that sheet taken off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But I can tell you this. We're talking a lot here about the technology of the vehicle, but this is a vehicle that is aggressively styled. It's designed to be a car that you would want to own regardless of its efficiency. It's handles very much like an exotic sports car, but then at the same time, it does it in a package that's affordable, it's safe, and most importantly, extremely efficient.
Have you talked about the price point yet? Have you talked about that publicly?
We have. It's being priced basically being competitive with a Prius, so okay. It's a mid-20s price point. But this is in a package that is a mid-engine, rear-wheel drive, double wishbone suspension all around. Mm-hmm. Now, that may not mean a lot to everybody on the line here, but if those characteristics are shared with a couple of other vehicles, a Ferrari, Lamborghinis, Lotus, they're not in any vehicles that are anywhere near close to the price point we're talking about. So the architecture not only is very efficient, but is very much catered around the performance of the vehicle.
And the most important question, will it be available in Minnesota Viking purple with gold trim?
Of course.
Me, anything, right? Yeah. Well, that sounds great. RJ, we're gonna pause right here, and then when we come back in a little bit, we're going to get to Pat and talk about Space Florida and its involvement. But for right now, we're going to take our five-minute built-in hold so that everyone can take a break, get caught up on the latest news, weather, and sports. And again, of course, when we return, we'll talk more about cars and space with our guests RJ Scaringe and Pat McCarthy. Of course, Space Talk to you. Space Talk is brought to you by Space Florida. I'm Jim Banky, and you're listening to WMMB.
Now, back to our own mission specialist, Jim Banky.
The halls with boughs of holly, fa la 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 la. Tis the season to be jolly, fa la 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 la. Don we now our gay apparel, fa la 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 la.
Great time of year. Well, welcome back to our second half of Space Talk on WMMB, brought to you by Space Florida. Driving state economic development across the global aerospace enterprise. Good day to have the word driving in there today, by the way. We're talking about that. You're welcome to join us at any time during the show today in our conversation. Your questions and comments, welcome at 321-768-1240, *1240 for the local AT&T wireless customers, or as always, send us an email to spacetalking@AOL.com. A brief programming note here for our local friends. This week on WMMB, our morning show host, Bill Mick, will be taking a long weekend off beginning this Wednesday. So I hope you're all sitting down, believe it or not, for 3 days this week, starting on Wednesday. I will be filling in for Bill during the three-hour morning show. It's been a long time since I've done this, so I'm a little nervous about it, and I sure would appreciate it if everyone would tune in at least for a few minutes each day and participate in the program. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about space, but I think we'll mostly be discussing the daily news and life in Brevard. And if it is a quiet day, and I warn you, no one is calling, I will regale you with stories about growing up in Minnesota and watching the Minnesota Vikings play outdoors at a time when they were at least making it to the Super Bowl. And we all know how that story turned out, and we'll share that with you if we have to. So, fair warning, Brevard, I will be the morning show guy for 3 days this week, and am looking forward to it. And of course, Bill needs the time off, deserves the time off, and we wish him a fun long weekend. Okay, well, let's get back to our conversation. With us today in the studio, RJ Scaringe of Avera Motors in Rockledge and Pat McCarthy of Space Florida here at the Cape. And we're talking about the combining of space technology and automobile technology and the possibility of a new car and manufacturing it here along the space coast is too. And RJ, we were talking a little bit about that. I want to try to make the stronger link between space and the car itself. We talked about the fact that we've got this great workforce available to us, but before we get into the business side with Pat, give us just a little bit more about the car itself and its links to the space program. What is there stuff that's flown in space that's the technology that's working on here, or how does that work?
Sure. Well, the vehicle actually uses a space frame architecture, which means the structure of the vehicle is actually carried under the skin.
Okay.
And it's an aluminum composite space frame structure. And space frame actually gets its name from the space industry. And the first vehicle to utilize a space frame structure was one of the moon rover vehicles.
It's incredible.
And
so the lunar rover from Apollo is a great grandfather of what you're developing in Rockledge.
Yes.
That's incredible.
So exactly. So we're using a space frame on the Space Coast aluminum structure. And a lot of the structural techniques that are used in space, direct load paths, highly efficient joining mechanisms, we're utilizing the same approaches on our vehicle architecture.
Well, and let's move to the other side of the equation here and talk to Pat McCarthy for a little bit. And Pat, here you are at Space Florida. The organization is charged with developing the economic development of the state and space program and all that. And then here's this car company. You know, talk about how Space Florida and Avera Motors winds up together and what you're doing to help them out.
Well, you know that our we've talked before about our long-term vision of expanding the aerospace applications across the state, and this is just one way to do that. Obviously, RJ's talked about the technology transfers and the knowledge transfer from space-related industries into the automotive industry, and this was just a fine example of that, and our senior management saw the opportunity to get in on the ground floor of this and to help with some of the financing and development capital to get this program off the ground.
Yeah, so many people think of Space Florida, and then they think of space economic development as meaning more rocket launches, and their blinders pretty much go up at that point. It's just that's all you're supposed to do is be bringing in more launch business. But we know space is so much more than that, and you've got these different areas that you're targeting, and I think this automotive example is a great example.
Well, absolutely. I mean, when I was on the last time, we talked about the various enabling capabilities we have in the space industry that we're looking to expand into other industries, such as clean energy, which just certainly fits into advanced materials and new products and space-related structures development. So those are two of the many different industries that we're looking to expand into to help move some of that available workforce and engineering talent here in Florida into other industries.
And RJ, talking about the business side of it, and you know as well as we do, being a local Floridian and watching our shuttle program through the years, shuttle's about to finish out. People are getting laid off, and you've got this workforce which we've already talked about. What are your hopes for your company in Rockledge during the next few years, and I'm wondering, even first of all, do you still fully anticipate manufacturing the car here, and what kind of economic impact do you think you might be able to bring to this county in the coming years?
That's a great question, Jim. We're working very hard, actually, with Space Florida to make sure that we can manufacture the vehicle here. With the manufacture of the vehicle, we'll be producing significant jobs directly through our vehicle assembly and vehicle manufacturer here. Through 2015, we're looking at over 1,200 direct jobs. But it's not just the direct jobs. In fact, we've got a number of suppliers. Actually, most of them are out of the Detroit area right now. And we're working very closely with Space Florida to try to get some of these companies to set up expansion facilities down here in Florida. Now, you may be thinking, you know, why would we want to have, or why would another company that's primarily focused on automotive want to move down to Florida for just a small startup company? Mm-hmm. Well, what's happening in Detroit is there's actually a mass migration of companies out of the Detroit area into some of the southern states like Tennessee, Mississippi, mm-hmm. Alabama. And they're doing that primarily for labor reasons. You know, get away from unions, have lower cost labor, be competitive on a global market. But when you look at Brevard County, it doesn't have it has more than just the ability to build things with affordable labor. We also have the technology. And more importantly, it provides these companies with an opportunity to diversify. You know, a lot of these suppliers have maybe 90% of their business through a single customer, you know, maybe a Ford or a GM. Mm-hmm. Moving down here, they have the opportunity to support, obviously, the aerospace programs. They've got companies like Embraer. And then, of course, Avera Motors. And what we're doing is we're talking to about five or six key suppliers and working with them to set up expansion facilities down here. And that, through 2015, will produce an additional 500 jobs.
And that's incredible. That's incredible. Now talk about your relationship with Space Florida specifically. How important is that organization to your path towards success?
Well, Space Florida's done just an absolutely incredible job. Working with Frank DiBello, it's just been an extraordinary experience. He's the nice thing about working with the Space Florida as an organization is they truly understand the business side of a company, and it's not just they're really not an economic development agency; they're more of a business development agency. And they not only look at it in terms of what incentives they can help provide, but they look at it in terms of how can they help provide strategic advice and strategic guidance. And a perfect example is how they're helping us sort of lure some of these key suppliers down here. obviously, if the suppliers for some of our bigger components, let's take the frame, for example, which is a very large component, is right next door or across the street from our facility, it reduces our shipping cost.
Mm-hmm.
So Space Florida has done an incredible job working with other companies as well.
Well, and you talk about suppliers, very coincidental. Linda, calling from Port St. John, has a question, I think, on that very topic. Linda, welcome to Space Talk.
Thank you, gentlemen. Very good show. Just curious, where will you be getting, say, your interior parts, dashes, seats, door panels, headliners? Where will that be coming from, or do you even have a supplier lined up yet?
Great question, Linda. We've got all those components. A couple of different suppliers are handling that, the components you listed there. Most of those suppliers are out of the Detroit area. We are working with one key supplier that would bring about half of those components to Brevard County.
I just know that you have a workforce here from your boating industry that would be an excellent resource.
You're exactly right. You know, we've been talking here about aerospace, but the parallels with the boating industry are very strong. You know, we Sea Ray actually has a facility here right in Port Canaveral, or had a facility, I should say. And there's a lot of talent that did a lot of those similar processes.
Thank you, gentlemen. That's exactly what I was wanting to know.
Linda, thanks for the phone call. We really appreciate it. Well, that's great. So not only are you going to build the plan here, but obviously the closer you can get to the supply line. And that all, Pat, helps grow aerospace, grow our county. So as you're, you know, is that part of your mix, too, that not only do you want to expand, you know, the aerospace influence, but there is this sort of, I don't know what the right word is, fallout, spinoff, trickle-down
effect? Well, I guess technology transfer is a good way to put that, and we certainly want to expand the supply chain opportunities all the way down the supply chain. We want the suppliers to actually have more and different kinds of industry to supply, as it were, you know, to provide products to more than just aerospace or to more than just the automotive or boating industries. You want to give them the opportunity to expand their markets and deliver goods to a wide range of different industries.
So I was just imagining, and this is really kind of an off-the-wall example perhaps, but I think maybe what you're talking about is that, okay, RJ, you're building this new car and you need seat covers. And so next thing you know, there's this seat cover company that wants to come down here because they can handle the boats and they can handle the cars. Next thing you know, our friend Brian at SpaceX is calling up and saying, we need seat covers for the Dragon capsule. And next thing you know, these guys are doing business in space. And then all the trucks at the Kennedy Space Center need seat covers and so on and so forth. So
that's exactly it. You hit it right on the head there, Jim.
That sounds good. Well, look, we're going to take one more break, come back for just a couple of more words, and get you updated on some other things as well. So as we head into the final break and come back for our final segment, I'll remind you that this is Space Talk, brought to you by Space Florida. I'm Jim Banky. You're listening to WMMB.
And now back to Space Talk on WMMB.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
And he only lives in Minnesota. He does not live here in Florida. Although it's going to get cold enough this week, I think, where Frosty would have a chance to live for a little while, maybe, in central part of Florida, maybe up north. Well, welcome back as we begin our final segment of today's edition of Space Talk, sponsored by Space Florida. And we want to appreciate all of your contributions today to the program and the phone calls. We've got a couple of emails. We're not sure we're going to be able to get to them. I do want to remind you that Space Talk today also brought to you by the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex, where for just one more week, all Florida residents who purchase an adult admission at regular price can bring in a friend or a loved one absolutely free. Strap yourselves into the shuttle launch experience, take a tour behind the scenes, or walk beneath a massive moon rocket. You can even meet a real astronaut in person, and it all adds up to a day of fun and a lifetime of inspiration. Get your coupon online at the KennedySpaceCenter.com website, and then launch yourself to the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex. But do hurry. The countdown clocks are ticking, and this offer expires next Saturday. Well, we'll also take a moment now and quickly review our launch forecast for this week, brought to you by United Space Alliance. Innovation you can trust, performance you can count on. Well, it looks like we're through with launches from the Cape for this calendar year. The next launch targeted from Cape Canaveral is the Delta IV Heavy, which now has the Eastern Range booked for January 11th. That will be the National Reconnaissance Mission, sort of a secret mission that's been sitting there out on the pad getting ready to fly. And again, we know that they'll launch it when it's time to fly and do it right. The next shuttle launch now, Discovery, targeted for February 3rd at 1:34 in the morning, a night launch. I'd like to remind all my friends in the media to stop saying this is going to be the last night launch, because we've already had two more night launches, I think, since we've said it was going to be the last night launch. And I think the next two are both scheduled to be at night as of the moment. When we last talked on this show, of course, Discovery was still hoping to get off the ground in mid-December. That launch is now bumped to February as the KSC and NASA engineers want some more time to deal with the external tank. This week, a test of the external tank planned. Hopefully, sometime on Wednesday, they're going to load up the tank with some of its propellant and check out their issues, make sure everything is repaired and doing well. The cold snap that we're expecting here again, another wave coming through tomorrow, could be an issue for that. So we'll just keep an eye on it. I do want to make sure that everyone's aware of the fact that this Wednesday at 2:09 p.m. in the afternoon Eastern time, will be the next Soyuz launch from the Baikonur Cosmodrome, carrying three people up to the International Space Station, including NASA astronaut Katie Coleman. The spacecraft will also have a Russian cosmonaut and an Italian astronaut on board as well. So a human spaceflight lifting off this week on Wednesday. We want to keep our fingers crossed, our prayers active, and keep an eye on that flight as always. So that is your launch forecast for this week, brought to you by United Space Alliance. In our remaining moments with R.J. Scaringe and Pat McCarthy, R.J., we talked about the technology involved in space and all that, but you're actually going to use some of the facilities at the Kennedy Space Center in the very near term to test your car. Is that right?
We are indeed. We're going to be doing some high-speed testing on the landing strip there. It's interesting to note that NASCAR and Indy and a lot of the race teams actually do some testing out there as well. It's one of the longest runways in the world. And we'll be doing some high-speed testing there and enjoying it very much. We're also doing some of the sort of traditional road and track style tests there, the slalom test, the handling test.
Okay.
So it should be a fun.
How fast do you think you can get her up to speed on the runway? Still break in time.
Exactly. We're the top speed of the vehicle is just over 120 miles per hour. So we'll be going fairly quickly.
You have a target mile per gallon?
Yep, with a gasoline engine, we're getting 60 miles per gallon. With a diesel electric, we're getting 90 miles per gallon.
Oh, my. Wow. At $3 a gallon, it's time for stuff like that. There's no doubt about it. Well, Pat, let's finish up with you, too, because I think it's really neat, you know, what Space Florida is doing to attract folks like Averin. And I'm not sure who contacted who first, but I'm sure that there are folks out there listening right now that either are part of companies or know of companies that could maybe use Space Florida's help and assistance and direction and leadership and mentoring, whatever words you want to use, to maybe grow an opportunity here using our space people and our technology. How does that process happen? How do people get a hold of you, or do you go out and recruit them? And I know you had a recent example of work out of Complex 36 that maybe is an example of this process, but talk really quickly about that.
Well, we'd like to have anybody that's interested in taking advantage of the capabilities down here in Florida to take a look at our website at spaceflorida.gov, or give us a call at 321-730-5301, and we'll put you in touch with our business development folks, and we can, like you say, give you some advice on your business plan and help you with financing, help you find the facilities that you might need to operate down here. One of the examples of that, as you mentioned, is a company called Maston Space Systems, and we're going to be looking to put them out at Complex 36, which we have a license to operate from the Air Force. Maston flies a totally reusable suborbital vertical takeoff and landing rocket vehicle, and they've got a NASA contract to fly suborbital research payloads up to several hundred thousand feet, bring it back down for a soft landing by rocket power. And we're working with the Air Force right now to bring Maston out here, and hopefully we'll be able to get them operational for some demonstration flights in the early part of next year.
That's great. That's great. So the big thing is just shout out Space Florida online, give them a call, and take advantage of the opportunity that they have, the gifts they have, the talents they have, and the money they have, really, to work together and grow our economy and help us deal with our changes in our space program here in Florida. And I think the example here of Avera Motors and this new car is something we're going to have to keep following. And again, it's an unusual story to mix cars and space, but I think it's exactly the opportunity, exactly the example that we need to show how we need to grow. So anyway, RJ, Pat, thanks for being with us today. We really do appreciate you being here. Next week on Space Talk, my special guest will be Garrett McCabe. Garrett is a sixth grader at Ralph Williams Elementary School in Vieira, and he is one of thousands of kids from Brevard County that participated in our annual Space Weeks program sponsored by the National Space Club Florida Committee. The idea there that every sixth grader gets a chance to tour the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex every year. This is the seventh year of the program, and Garrett's going to be a great example of a youngster that saw that program and firsthand. We're going to talk to him about it. We also hope to have Billy Specht on. He's in charge of the education programs for Delaware North at the Visitor Complex, as well as Adrian Lafitte from Lockheed Martin, who manages our Space Weeks programs for the Space Club this particular year. So we look forward to that. That's next week's program. We have a programming note to Go Navy Beat Army. My son heading off into the Navy today, the big Navy-Army game. We look forward to that. In fact, we probably should head home and start watching. I think that's this afternoon yet, tonight. So we'll enjoy that on his 21st birthday. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Space Talk is sponsored by Space Florida and is a production of Mylas Solutions. Aaron Michaels is my personal chief engineer. And now stay tuned for the Home Mortgage Law Show right here on WMMB. We'll see you again here on Wednesday for the Bill Mix Show. I'm Jim Bankey, and we'll talk to you again real soon.